Hey, it's Ella. As far as Dan the man, great guy. Dan the coach, I hope he learns that he's not Pete Carroll and that he can't let his coordinators do whatever they want to help advance their career that ended his career. I hope he learns not to depend on any more Vic Beasleys. Take what you see at face value and move on. As far as Thomas Dimitroff goes, his draft picks might have been hit and miss, but he never upped up the cap. So whoever they bring in here, I hope they know what they're doing with this money. As far as defensive coach goes, defensive coordinator, I need Wade Phillips. Rise up.
Can I see my hat? We're live. What the
Oh,
fuck?
cool. Yo, what's good, your boy South Breeze 706. This is the Urban Nation Report, the unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. And in honor of the biggest Broncos fan, T.I., I have my hat cocked to the side in typical T.I. fashion as the Falcons have finally, after it seems like decades, have secured a W, and we are looking like a somewhat competent NFL team defeating the Minnesota Vikings 40 to 23. Matt Ryan had four touchdowns, 30 for 40, and he's on my fantasy team, so that's another plus. We have our usual host, Jeff Queen, and my very sad Josh from the UGA loss last night. What's good?
Yeah, they did lose.
I'm not sad. I mean, that game didn't benefit us in any shape, form, or fashion. So, whatever.
Yeah, we won a game. I mean, it's nice to have a win, but I'm hoping.
I mean, is it though? Is it nice though? Is it really nice to have a win?
It is. I was tired of being a loser.
We still are losers. That's the
I mean,
thing.
well, yeah, but we're not 0-16 losers. We might be 1-15 losers,
Yeah, I mean,
What's up, Eb?
yeah. What up? What up? Yeah. So this is the thing. I get it. And let's get right to it. The Falcons played great. Matt Ryan kind of gave a big middle finger to all the media outlets, Clifford Harris, and everybody else that was calling him washed and that he was on borrowed time. Ash, shout out to Marcus Sniffles. Actually, text me if you want to come on. But yeah, it's no more rise up in the draft. We pretty much ended all hopes of getting Trevor Lawrence with this W. And that's the main thing that confuses me, which I've said before. Falcons fans don't know what they want. One week they want, tank for Trevor. And then the next week they're like, oh, I don't want to see Trevor stuff in my timeline. Matt Ryan's not washed. It's just very confusing. Now, I get it. I don't think Matt Ryan's a problem. Anybody that watches the Falcons, they know that it's not a quarterback issue. There's a lot going on with this team. So, but the idea of Matt Ryan not being washed and preparing for the future, those things can be mutually exclusive. Like, we can have both. You know what I'm saying? Just like the same thing with last year. We could have kept losing and got possibly a generational pass rusher in Chase Young, but we decided to go on a winning streak. And not saying Terrell is bad, but he's not Chase Young. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, it's cool. We can be rah, rah, rah. You know what I'm saying? 1-5, win the game and be happy. But in the long run, we can't be tied to being Matt Ryan fans or Julio Jones fans. We have to be Falcons fans. Falcons fans first. And I get it. Matt has been around for a lot of these fans, the high points of their careers, going to the Super Bowl and whatnot, MVP. But we have to look at the future. Like, whether it be Trevor Lawrence or somebody else, we have to look at the future. So that's just my kind of take on it. Yes,
Man.
coaching is the problem. We see that. But real quick, before I let Jif go, we played the Vikings. The Vikings are 1-4. Kirk Cousins is not good. Dalvin Cook wasn't. So again, kudos to the Falcons for beating the brakes off of them. But the real measuring stick is when we play like a, at least a 500 team. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I'm glad we got this W. Like I said, I was tired of being losers, but I don't trust this team. you know, they've proved over the years that they'll win like one or two games and then go on a 5-game losing streak. So I don't have any like hope, but I'm just glad that we got the W. Now, the biggest elephant in the room that came out today was, were they actually playing for Dan Quinn? Do they actually miss Dan Quinn? Or were they playing like shit to get Dan Quinn out of here? Because where the fuck did this team come from? Like, seriously. Today, everybody stepped up at one point or another. The only players that weren't consistent were like the O-line. Like after the first quarter, the O-line just crashed and burned. So were they trying to get Dan Quinn out and were putting on a show for us? Because, I mean, did y'all see that game? Like, it felt like it was like a fucking, I don't know, some traitor type shit, like a setup to get Quinn out of here.
No, it was just competent coaching. Like I said, it's like under Quinn, it's like he wants to run the team one way, maybe try to rekindle the 16-year, and we couldn't because we're 4 years removed. But from the looks of it today, it's like Raheem let the players be the players. Like they were saying, like how he took his running guys, as in like Neil and like Debo. And others, and he told them, hey, y'all gonna get back to running and hitting. So it's like, if he had to do that, then what did Quinn have them doing? Like, what was Quinn telling them to do from a schematic standpoint? But I mean, this is what the team looks like when they can have competent coaching. Like, we could compete. Like, we have the talent is here. But under Quinn, it was just like he was just trying to get one result out of them based on what we did in the past.
So real quick to answer Lady Telm's question, she asked, my thing is, how can one draft pick change the whole team? Okay, you can look back to what, 2009, when we drafted Matt Ryan. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, just because you want like a Trevor Lawrence doesn't mean you're down on Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan's not going to play forever. He's what, 36? You know what I'm saying? Oh, what the hell? Did she fall?
No.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, you can have both. Like, he can sit behind, or whoever is coming up next and sit behind Matt Ryan. But at this point in the season, we have no chance of making the playoffs. I'd say a very slim chance. So this season's a wash. Why not set your franchise up for future success if he is, you know, this great prospect, especially if you're within reach of getting him? And I understand players play to win, but that kind of counters Jeff's theory of them tanking to get rid of Dan Quinn, because nobody's trying to lose games in those fashions, like the whole Dallas situation or blowing the lead against whatever team a lead against. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard to figure out. It's hard to figure this out. And Marcus had a good point. No. You don't need to blow up the team to do that. Like you said, we have confident players on the team, but you do want to set your team up for the future if he's that good of a prospect. Because again, we don't know what the new regime's going to want. You know what I'm saying? The new regime is not going to be tied to Matt Ryan. And that could also be a reason that Matt Ryan played his ass off the day, that the narrative is that, A, he's washed, and that the narrative is going around that he might not be a part of the future plans. So he might also be playing for his job like the rest of these guys. It's not really just about the coaches like that. These players could be putting out film for their future team if the new regime doesn't want them. So everybody is incentivized to play at the highest level possible, which is, I don't understand why that was with DQ. Well, I guess it's because you were safe and that you were comfortable, but now you're in a very uncomfortable situation where you need to ball out or you might be out the door.
Yeah, I agree with that. But Quinn was coaching soft too, because if y'all peeped the reporters, and speaking of, again, on the little bonus episode that I did, I said RIP to Vaughn, and so I'm going to say it again. That shit was sad. Like, he's 48, and passed away at the age of 48. But I am very happy to know that he's with his family. His latest IG post, his last one, if you go look, he talks about how his mom and then a few siblings, like everybody in his life is gone. And he was like the last one left. So it just brings comfort, you know, that he's with his family. But it does suck that he's not here with us at such a young age. Even though he got on most of our nerves and most of us were blocked by him, you know, you still don't want to see that shit happen. You know, and he seemed to obviously be a good guy. So, you know, sad to not see him report today and all that stuff. But, yeah, so the reporters said that Raheem was getting the team uncomfortable, you know, is making them mad and stuff so they can play better, which makes me believe what I've been believing, that Quinn was soft on him. You know, he let him lollygag around and was giving him hugs instead of getting in their ass to do their job. And clearly today, at least, I don't know if it's going to work in the future, but today that shit worked. So I'm hoping that it continues to work and get us to where we need to be, I guess. I mean, I don't even know where we need to be because I don't really care. I think the season is dead and the season should be canceled anyway with all these COVID cases and shit. But if it gets the best out of the players, then I'm all here for it and where we need to be. Let's say I don't think a coach or GM would blow up a team with our salary cap issue. Shit, I don't know what the fuck the next coach or GM is going to do or what Rich is thinking about doing right now.
I mean, you don't blow it up because, I mean, yeah, we still have talent. Like, you just need to see if that new regime wants to keep Matt Julio, Grady, and et cetera, if they want to keep them to build around them and then immediately still be and be able to compete for a championship. So at the same time, you can also still plan for the future too, though. So that's why I don't think the new coach and GM will come in and blow up the team, because, I mean, you need a QB to even compete in this league, to even think about sniffing a championship, and you already have that. So just go with what you already have and just add pieces to that.
Yeah, but that's depending on if we get somebody that has that vision. If somebody sees, like, because everybody wants to come and do their own thing. Like, you know, you get a new boss, they want to, you know, put new rules and standards and stuff like that. It's like, yo, well, this policy we had at work was good. Nothing was wrong with it. But they might want to do things in their own light and their own vision. So, again, he might be like, all right, cool. Matt Ryan's cool. Julio Jones is cool. Looks at their contract, looks at the draft picks. It's like, all right, we're close enough to get my guy. Trevor, let's say, for argument's sake, because he's the one that's on the timeline all the time, let's go get our guy Trevor Lawrence. So at that point, as the coach and as the GM, they can make the decision to mortgage the future if they think Trevor Lawrence is that guy. Even though another coaching staff or another GM or head coach combination might be like, hey, we have this top five draft pick. I see the holes we have. I see the talent we still have in this roster. Let's trade back, or let's get this one piece, or let's bring in these veterans, these free agents, and we can make a run. But again, we're not going to know that to the end of the season until we hire the new head coach GM combination. So again, yeah, we do have the pieces, but again, it might not be their vision. This combination could be around for the next 10 years. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones will not be here for the next 10 years. So they have to look at it like that. Hey, I want to keep my job. So I think the best way to keep my job is get the quarterback or whatever player that I want to be my franchise guy. So
here he goes. Here he goes with his shit.
I've seen that in the timeline. Like, somebody said future Raven Julio Jones. I was like, yo, that's crazy. That would be insane. But
you said the Ravens and Julio?
Yeah. You said the Ravens.
I don't know.
Let me tell you something. Let this team trade Julio. Let them not let Julio retire. And I might be on America's Most Wanted list. That's all I'm going to say. If they don't let Julio retire as a Falcon, I will probably end up on America's Most Wanted list.
Let's go sabotage the entire offense, because we already saw, like, Calvin, he's not ready to be a true number one. Like, we need Julio.
Let's stop right there. This is one thing that it makes me chuckle on Falcons Twitter, is that Calvin will have a pretty good game stretch, and then like, oh, Calvin's a future GOAT. Oh, he's a true number one, blah, 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 blah. Then he'll disappear like he did for his first season when he had those 9 touchdowns. He had a bunch of those touchdowns like the first like 3 games, and like disappeared and didn't have a touchdown for like a 7-game stretch, and then came back.
Yeah,
like fans do this to themselves, man. It's very sad but funny to watch. Like, they just hype up these players, and like, oh, like before the Green Bay game, Julio Jones about to have 300 yards. I'm like, dog, this isn't the same team, the same coordinators for that fateful day that he did, you know, roast the Green Bay Packers. I think that's a part of the fandom that makes Falcons Twitter so toxic, is people just living their own fantasy life. It's pretty funny. So,
Marcus, you still are crying about Andrew Luck, man. Stop with that mess.
Right. Like, if Andrew Luck would have stayed and kept breaking his arm and leg and all that stuff, like.
Marcus is so in love with Andrew Luck that he thinks Peyton Manning was the problem in Indiana.
Well, to be fair, Peyton Manning couldn't throw the ball more than like 10 yards. I don't understand how he won games doing that foolishness. And why do their defense was spectacular, but
I mean, just in general, like, Marcus just had this disdain for Peyton. Like, he just like it was like a Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck thing was like a Mike Vick and Matt Ryan thing. Like, that's how Marcus hate Peyton.
Ooh, that's a hot take. That's a hot.
Spicy.
Marcus on that flock.
We knew that you said some crazy shit.
You know what? He has a point though. Peyton low key is racist, and Peyton is a high key sex offender. But you know, nobody else.
Marcus probably just bad racist.
Peyton Manning put his nuts on a trainer's face in Tennessee, and that shit disappeared. Like, they swept that shit under the rug.
Yeah.
Peyton was the OG wild boy.
And he probably paid all that money. Ridley is a great complimentary. He is little, but he can play his ass off.
But that's the thing. Like, even Marvin Harrison,
Wait a second.
I'm not saying that they're the same player.
First of all, we don't mention that guy's name. Wide receiver
number 88.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
If anybody from Philadelphia is listening, we meant no harm, no disrespect. The views of Josh mentioning that dude's name on open airways and not like myself or people saying
or me.
I forgot. Number 88 who played in NFL, whoever that guy is, him. But I'm not saying they're the same player. I'm just saying, like, Calvin, he's built like how that guy is. And I mean, that guy, he was a number one. He was a true number one. But Calvin is not a true number one as of now. He needs Julio.
Or if they would bring in other people as well around them and figure out how to get more of these other guys, which is what we thought they did with Hayden Hurst, who, shout to Jalen, he is like on the anti-Hayden Hurst train now.
Yeah, that guy.
I feel like it might be a little biased to Hooper, which I get, but again, what I've said before, and he could probably explain it better here, and you know, Jalen's a homie. But my thing is, you can't say that Dirk Cotter is a terrible OC, but then slander Hurst. Now, again, Hooper was here with Dirk Cotter, but he was here longer. And for whatever reason, he just preferred Austin Hooper over, like, Ridley. Like, he preferred Hooper to the point where I think it was to Ridley's detriment in development, because he just, like, would refuse to find ways to scheme him to get him the ball. But hey, let's get it to our guy that runs a 4.740 versus the guy that runs a 4.4. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. But Marcus has joined the podcast. I don't know if he wants to speak his piece.
Oh, I mean, I got an invite, so I'm just here to provide content for you guys. Just here to support, you know, all that good stuff. I wonder what Matt Ryan's favorite like T.I. song is. Like, someone should ask him to rake T.I. albums. Like, to do that, that'd be interesting to see.
I don't think he listens to anything T.I.
You can't live in Atlanta and not listen to like Atlanta rappers. Like Matt Ryan's got to get in the studio with Ludacris or something like that, or find out what Lil Flip is doing and just get that diss out there. You know, keep that same energy.
He's not that type of white person.
Bro, it was playing so icy in the Georgia Dome, dog. Like he might not listen to it, but he's like aware of what's he's got to be. Dog, 80% of the team is black, dog. Yeah, man, the freestyle king, Lil Flip, shout out to Houston. But yeah, y'all know about that. Y'all know about Lil Flip. That's the LILFLIP.
Back in the day.
Well, I don't know if you guys saw what I said in the chat though, but what I was saying as far as what the Falcons should do, as far as doing what the Dolphins are doing. What the Dolphins did last year is they started like getting rid of players to get like first and second round picks. And then this past draft, they drafted Tua like number five, but they're keeping Fitzpatrick. So they're going to let Tua sit, let these other players develop, and then build around the team. So when Tua is ready, he can step into a better situation. So, I mean, yeah, it's going to suck to lose players like, you know, potentially like a Julio Jones or something like that. But you also have to consider what is best for the team and the future of the team. Because like South Breeze was saying, Matt Ryan is not going to play for – he's not going to be here 5 years from now. Julio Jones probably not going to be here 3 years from now. So you got to think about the future. And it is a business, you know. So if DeAndre Hopkins got traded for like a second-round pick, and Higgins, the kid from the Vikings, he got traded for a first round pick, and Julio Jones is still a top three receiver, so you could probably get one first round, maybe two second round picks on top of that for Julio Jones. Like, what would you rather have? What's better for the team? An aging receiver that tends to get hurt, or a first round pick with two additional second round picks to go with that? So it's just something to think about.
It's nothing to think about. They're both Falcons for life, okay?
Oh, my God.
You got it? Like I said, y'all care more about the individual players.
Falcons for life.
As long as you're willing to admit that, that's fine. Just know that that's what you're doing.
Yeah, and the thing is that him saying that makes you think about teams that we all hate, like the Patriots, because they have no problem getting rid of a star player. Or somebody that's on the verge of maybe falling off a year or two later for the best return as possible, but they win. They win championships, and that's why we hate them. I would love to be hated because we win championships. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the ultimate goal, but you have to have a regime that is heartless and soulless and emotionless and stolid as Bill Belichick, who's just like,
okay, but hey, it would hurt now to lose Julio Jones, but if you guys are in a position to win a championship 3 to 4 years from now, like you're a consistent contender, fans will get over that. Fans will be like, well, Julio had a good run, but you look at him playing and wherever he's playing, it's like, well, he's not as good as he was, and we have these young, talented players that are producing, and now we're consistently back to where we were. Like, isn't that what you want, or do you want Julio Jones to just put up all these catches as a Falcon? Like, what is it that you want?
That, you know what, Jeff? That'd be a good poll. Would you trade this is gonna make get ready to tweet this out. This is gonna hurt a lot of people's brains. But would you sacrifice Julio Jones and Matt Ryan being lifetime Falcons player for a championship? I'd love to see the poll results on that one. Because I feel like there's going to be a lot of lying going on in that poll.
Yeah, this is not me saying that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are a problem. Like, they're clearly still the top five players on that roster. But you look at their age, you look at their contract, they can still produce, they can still – like, if you told me right now, like, if Adam Schefter tweets, hey, the Falcons are looking to shop Julio Jones – how many calls do you think the Falcons are going to get? What team is not calling just to inquire about Julio Jones? There isn't a single team that wouldn't at least call. every team would call, every single one. So now you got 31 other teams offering to take Julio Jones off your hands. Yes, it would suck to have to lose Julio Jones because he is the franchise player. He's probably I'd probably say he's the greatest player in Falcons history, in franchise history, I would say. So, yeah, you lose that. But if I tell you, hey, in 3 years, you guys are going to be a contender, not saying you're going to win the Super Bowl, but you're going to be a consistent contender. You will consistently be in the playoffs, the top of your division, you know, one of the perennial picks. Or you could just keep Julio Jones and keep going 7-9 and 5-11 or whatever it is y'all are going to go this year. It's like, what do you value? What's most important?
You gotta put the win there for me.
I mean, true. Like, but
I need a guaranteed win.
But I mean, what's the difference?
Like, a contender is like, we've been there and done that. So,
I'm talking about what the Seahawks are, or what the Packers are.
That's the thing. What's the difference between being your scenario and what we just did from 2010 to 2016? I mean, we was contenders then. I mean,
you were happier at that point, right? Like, you enjoyed watching Falcons games, right? Like, it was fun watching your team in the playoffs, going to the Super Bowl. Those were things you liked.
Before I dip out, real quick, I'm about to add to this list. You guys need to be cognizant of some of these quote-unquote Falcons fans you follow. Please look at their likes and look at their retweets. I had to unfollow one cat who was retweeting some wild MAGA propaganda. And I saw that some of y'all follow these people. Be cognizant. If you want, like, reality and real Falcons takes, follow me, South3706. That's all I got. Y'all be safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. And also slander T.I. because he clearly was at an album release party talking about he's a leader of the community. People have no mask on, no social distancing. The album wasn't – the album couldn't have been that good. It ain't that good on risk of COVID. You know what I'm saying?
No chance. Zero chance.
Yeah, man. So
I catch y'all. All right.
And I agree with the comment as far as like Julio's not getting traded this year because y'all don't have a GM unless Arthur Blank is just like gonna give Rich McKay a job. But you have to wait until you get a GM in place, get a head coach in place, and they are both on the same page. They have to be on the same page. That's why you fire the GM and the head coach at the same time. So you can bring in a GM who will hire the head coach that he wants that has the same vision as him. So they're not on different pages. So you're not, you know, bringing in a coach. You're not bringing in a GM that wants to keep Matt Ryan and then hiring a coach that wants to draft, you know, Terry Lance or whoever quarterback is out there. Like, they got to be on the same page.
Yeah. But if it was a guaranteed championship situation, like, we make the playoffs this year, and then next year we make the playoffs again, and then they're like, fucking trade them or whatever, then I'd be like, okay, maybe. But it just doesn't sit well with me to not let those two retire as Falcons players.
Does that not seem a little bit selfish? Just based on what the team has been doing for the last 4 years. Like, they've been 7-9, or not 4 years, they've been 7-9 the last 2 years.
Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. If NFL, choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. If NBA, MLB, PGA, or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. If PGA, Thrive has new contests for each day of the tournament. Thursday only, Friday only, etc. So don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018. Use promo code DBNReport when you sign up today, and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website, www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.
They're 1-5 right now, or 1-4. They have a losing record. They're most likely not going to make the playoffs for the third year in a row.
We don't know that.
It's like, yeah, you want to keep Julio Jones so you can keep, you know, repping for your guy because, you know, he's Falcon for life or whatever. But what does that mean if you have nothing to show for it at the end of the day? If you can make the team better.
That's a big if. That's the problem.
The team, like, could be a lot better with just competent coaching in general.
Yeah.
Do you think that roster is good enough to win?
I thought before we had our first game this year, yeah.
Yes, we've been had the talent to win. Years we've had the talent to win. The problem in the Dan Quinn era, and when that one dude bounced, is we've had shit coaching ever since, to include Dan Quinn.
Yeah, and if the new GM comes in and evaluates the players, and he says, like, hey, this roster's good enough, we're going to run it back again, then that's what he does, and you just got to kind of live with that. But I guess I just keep going back to this. Do you want the team to improve? If you have a chance to make your team better, there's going to be moves that have to be made that are going to hurt as fans. Like, I mean, there was a lot of fans that were hurt when Sanu got traded. He'd only been there for like 2.5 years. He didn't even draft that guy. But Sanu got better. I understand that. But you also got a second round pick. That's something that you'll never see a trade like that again. I don't know what the Patriots were doing. That's like one of the greatest trades in NFL history.
They gave it that because they cheated in the Super Bowl.
Regardless. Okay, what is there anything right now, like going into the offseason, you finish the season 4-12. If let's say the Packers come calling, they say, hey, we'll give you a first and a second and next year's second for Julio Jones. Are you gonna be upset if the Falcons take that?
Nah, not really.
I mean, I would, but
I still wouldn't want him to be in the same conference. At least,
but you would understand it. Okay, make it the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo Bills call. They say, "Hey,
oh sure, we're gonna give you
We'll give you a first round pick and a second round pick for Julio Jones. You're gonna be upset if the Falcons take that?
You just said a first round pick and a first and second, yeah, and then another it. Second that you had it.
No, I'm changing. I kind of want to see where your guys' heads at. They
hell no, then. No, no, no.
You're going to be upset with that pick?
I need more. I need more.
For Julio, you need a lot.
I need more.
Okay. I'm just asking. I'm just trying to see where your guys' heads are at with this.
It would have to be a first and another borderline first. It had to be almost like two firsts. And then that's just from entertaining the trade proposal.
Yeah, two firsts, a second, like a left arm, some right fingers.
Okay,
like,
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but just know that, like, say, you know, they're like, all right, we're just going to keep Julio Jones. The next year, Julio Jones's value is just going to get lower. The value only goes down. Julio Jones is not getting better, right? He's not going to be better next year. He's not going to be better the next year. He's going to continue not to get worse, but he's not going to improve at all. If anything, he's going to continue to get hurt the way he has been because he's getting older and he's a physical player and he takes a lot of hits because he's a big guy to get taken down. So it's kind of like South Breeze was saying, like the Patriot way is to get rid of a player a year too early rather than a year too late.
Yeah, but the Patriots are the Patriots. No one can we a lot of teams try to duplicate what they do. No one can succeed. That's why it's because
their fans are super emotional. Like,
no,
you literally said you don't want a first round pick for an aging wide receiver.
No, it's not just Julio.
Right, it's Julio Jones. Like,
Julio is like a top five wide receiver all the time. It's not just anybody that we're giving up.
Right. Like, what would you take if Andrew Luck was still in the picture?
here's the difference, though. The Colts were winning.
Can you answer the question?
It's not an apples. If you would let me finish, it is not an apples to apples comparison because the Colts were winning. The Colts were in the playoffs. If the Colts were on, okay, if we had Andrew Luck and we went 7-9, and now we're 0-1 with his contract, and there's a Trevor Lawrence coming up, and Andrew Luck's been hurt a couple of times. He's missed a season here or two, and you're telling me we can get another potential, 10 to 15 year great quarterback, and we can trade Andrew Luck for a first and second round pick. Why not consider that?
He's making lying. He's lying. It's Sunday.
So there's no right answer to your question. Essentially, there was no right answer. I was gonna get that answer wrong anyway.
It is Sunday, and you're lying.
This man lying on a Sunday.
Right. Can you lie?
Can you lie tomorrow?
It wouldn't have mattered what I said. You guys were going to say I was wrong regardless. So just go ahead and take that. I'll eat that one. So it is what it is.
Now, can we talk about the greatest improv play in Falcons history?
Oh, yes. Yes.
What the fuck? What was it? Fourth down, right?
It's like fourth and one.
Yeah, it was fourth and one. And Matt was scrambling. And, of course, he turned into Matt Vick. Next thing you know, Julio makes his adjustment to catch the ball. Matt tossed it to him. Then Julio grown mans his way to a touchdown. He gives a fucking – who did he knock down? He knocked down somebody and makes his way to a touchdown. That was probably the greatest shit I've ever seen improv-wise that Matt and Julio have done. They are truly like this. And that was some great shit. And I was really shocked. Like, I was in here laughing because I was so shocked that that even happened.
It was impressive because we heard so many times, oh, Matt can't extend plays. Matt is a statue. Matt, this. And it's like, just stop. Just stop it.
And all that shit. Like, today, he did a great job. Like, he's been playing pretty bad these last five games, which is just helping my theory that they were playing poor to get Quinn out of here.
That theory makes zero sense. That theory makes zero sense, and it holds no water because when the Falcons were 1-7 after the bye week, the players rallied around Dan Quinn and won like 6 out of 7 games to keep Dan Quinn's job. That's what the players said. So to say that this year they wanted to lose, that doesn't make any sense.
This year they said the same shit. They said after every game, they said they did not play to keep Dan Quinn. And then today, look at what they did today. Like, if you saw them, every single player actually played well today. Like, it was
because again, Raheem, from what it looks like, he let the players do what they can naturally do. Quinn was just trying to have them do odd stuff that didn't fit them. That's all that it was. Quinn, I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe, again, he was trying to capture what we did in 2016, and he was trying to implement that in today's game. But like I said, throughout the week, I just heard Raheem just having meetings with players such as Debo and Neil, and he's like, y'all are going to get back to hitting and running, which I do naturally. And as we saw today, Debo and Neil were hitting and running. Like, it's just what it is. Quinn just had them doing some odd stuff that from both offensively and defensively.
What happened to Josh's Wi-Fi went down. Braylon, I'm going to get you on next time. I'm trying to keep this short today. But I'll get you on next time, Braylon. Shout out to Braylon. He was on the bonus episode, and he did really well. What were you saying, Josh? Oh, you muted yourself. But what else happened in this game? Oh, we recovered the onside kick this time instead of the last time. It was just a whole fucking change in pace today that I'm hoping stays, but I know at this team it probably won't stay at all. So I don't know what's going to happen next week. Who do we even play next week? The Panthers?
No, we got Detroit.
Oh.
We should win that. Ooh. Why we? Oh, boy. That was dumb. But yeah, we have the we have Detroit. So, I mean, we should win that one.
Yeah, should win. If we like losing games, that we should win. So, we're going to see. But the O-line, I need them running today. I need them running all the way to the tarmac, from the stadium to the tarmac to get on the plane. I want them running. Man, okay?
Carpenter. And then,
dog. Like, he just let people just walk by him. Like, where were you? Like, why are you over here? And the player, like, just goes like that. And you don't even, like, make an effort to stop him. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Because he's not that good. But with the national media, they like to bring up, oh, the Falcons have five first rounders in the O-line. But, yeah, but Carpenter, he's the worst one. He's the – if he was living up to his first round billing, he would still be with the team that drafted him. But he's not good. And we saw that today. Well, we've been seeing it since he's been here, but we saw that even more evident today as he was just letting defender just run past him for whatever what reason.
Yeah, I don't know how we haven't found his replacement by now. Like,
I mean, they tried Hennessy there. He had some struggles. So I guess they just went with Carpenter.
I guess, but it ain't working. It ain't working at all. And Matt was pissed. Like, they did great the first quarter. And then every quarter after that, it seemed to get worse and worse and worse. So they need to be running. And when they land in Atlanta, they need to run home. Don't no Uber, no taxi, no Lyft. Whatever other rideshare program they don't need to get on, no scooter. Y'all can't get on a scooter to go home. Y'all need to run home. I need to see, on fucking whatever, Fox 5 Atlanta, Falcons players running home on the highway because they fucking failed at protecting the quarterback. That's what I want to see happen because they fucked up big time and I'm tired. I'm tired of their shit, and it looks like the Braves might lose because they're down 3-0. I'm getting tired of their shit, too. All the shit. I'm getting tired.
No. We're supposed to be playing at 8. We're not playing now.
We aren't.
No, we're playing at 8. You're probably watching the game from yesterday.
Motherfucker. I thought they were on right now. No. Someone said we played back-to-back. Oh.
Yeah, we're playing today. Yeah, we played every day since like Monday, but we're playing at night, like at 8:30 or something.
Oh.
Yeah, there's zero chance an Atlanta team lets you guys down in the playoffs. So I expect the Braves to win this game easily.
Man, shut up.
Why are you talking?
I'm saying like the Braves are the better team. Like the
Marcus, you know you with Atlanta teams. You just scoring to the point that you just stopped rooting for them. That's all.
The Braves are gonna win, aren't they? At home, it's in Atlanta, right?
They're playing at a neutral site in Arlington, Texas.
Okay, but that's closer to Atlanta, so Atlanta should have a fairly easy time with the Dodgers. I fully expect Atlanta, just like you know the soccer team did. I feel like Atlanta is gonna be the other sports team to be the one to bring a championship to Atlanta. And then hopefully the Falcons can follow suit within 2 to 3 years. And then you guys will be great. Like, World Series. Let's go. Y'all get ready.
That's all I want. I just want a championship. But I need to find a hazmat suit for real, for real. Like, if we win this shit, I'll be downtown in a hazmat suit.
Nah, I just watched the parade from the TV. Like, it was already, like, hundreds of people at the Battery last night.
That's nasty. I'm like, y'all nasty. Y'all just want the virus. No, hazmat suit for me, like with the gloves and taped, like, you know, tape the gloves around your arm to the suit and all that stuff. Lysol, taser, tase people that get too close. Hell nah. I ain't playing, but I want to be out there. Too bad Falcons ain't going nowhere yet.
Yeah, we could turn the season around. No, numbers don't apply to us. Like,
you think we're going to turn it around?
But because we were the first team ever to have a pick six in the Super Bowl and lose it. We blown two leads this year at being up comfortably. Like, numbers don't apply to this Atlanta team. So it may just reverse and we may actually make the playoffs and make a run.
That'd be some crazy ass shit. Like, that would be the craziest shit if that happens. I doubt it will happen. But, like, if that happens, tell me, I'll give someone a whole penny. I'll mail you a penny if that happens.
I just want you guys to play this back when the Atlanta Braves are in the World Series this year. Just play this back. I called it.
So they're gonna win tonight. Is that that's what you're saying?
I'm guaranteeing it.
See, and when you do that, you know what you're doing too. You know exactly. You know what he's doing when he does that. And
who is your baseball team anyway?
I don't even watch baseball. Honestly, I don't watch baseball. But I'm rooting for you guys. Like, yeah, like I feel like we're like acquaintances. We're friendly with each other. I want you guys to be happy, so I'm rooting for the Braves.
You're doing this to spite us. To be
happy,
right? He's doing this to spite us, man.
You don't care about us. You don't.
I want you guys to be happy. I want you guys to be happy on the timeline. That's what I want. I want to see. I you know what? If I'm being honest, I cannot remember, like, I think the last time I saw, like, a legitimately happy gift queen on the timeline was probably, like, 2016. Like, other than that, it's always negativity and just down, and I'm going to kill you, and I'm getting my gun to come murder you, and I got a knife on me. I'm going to ban from the state. Like, she's never happy. And I feel like if the Falcons win, or not the Falcons, the Braves win tonight, she's going to be happy. So I'm rooting for that. I want to see a happy gift queen on the timeline.
True. I haven't been happy since 2016 on the timeline. Unless people send me money for my birthday or buy me eggnog or send nudes. But that's the stuff I don't talk about on the timeline because it's sacred. Like,
actually, I don't think I've ever seen
that happens, but I'm not like telling folks that someone on the timeline sent me nudes. Like,
I honestly don't think I've seen Josh happy on the timeline. Like, all the people that I follow from Atlanta, minus Slim Bella, she's usually pretty happy, but she was for Alabama, so.
The cheaters. Right.
Yeah, she was for Bama. Yeah, like, who can be happy when all this shit's happening? And it's for no reason. Like, you've hired your friend that one year. You're a bad coach. You keep hiring other bad coaches. And then we keep failing for no reason. Like, it's just for the stupidest stuff. So how can you be happy about that? Like, some people are. They're fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, you're happy.
It's just been like taking the good out of the bad, out of what you see. Like, we're a decent team when we have competent coaching. When we don't have competent coaching, we look terrible. Yeah, like today. Yeah. Because as you can all see, I don't know if people are paying attention. Matt Ryan, he was actually like autumnly plays, and then also that he was taking down the play clock all the way down to like 2-3 seconds, and then snapping the ball. With Quinn, you really didn't see him do too much of stuff like that. But again, I guess Quinn was just running he wanted the offense and defense to run a particular way under him.
A failing way. I'm so happy that he's gone. But I'm nervous about the future because I don't know what it holds. So we're just here. If it holds something like what Marcus keeps wanting it to hold for some reason, then I'm nervous about the future. But I know the future is going to hurt either way, unless Raheem somehow, like, stays and becomes the actual head coach, then I can see the majority of our players staying around.
I don't see him becoming the head coach because, again, if you do that, then you may still have that same, almost like the same stale message under Quinn. Because, I mean, great, we did okay today. But, I mean, I personally don't want to keep the same coaches. Like, just give us a whole new coaching staff and then let's see what they can do with this core player, in my opinion.
Clean house means clean house.
It does. Who is that? Is that? I don't know if that's a Dolphins or Breeze. Raheem got a go to. Hope he gets another AC job somewhere. I don't know. If he does well, I mean, like we said a couple weeks. Did we say a couple weeks ago? Last week? I don't know. One of these fucking episodes in the last week or two. You know, if Raheem does well, then.
No, that stuff doesn't work. That stuff did not work. Like, coaches who replace other head coaches do not do well when they become head coaches of teams. Because we saw that with Cleveland Browns and Freddie Kitchens. He was not a good head coach under them. Like, you don't find too many coaches, like, stories like that. Like, well, I don't think, honestly, any coordinator who took over for a head coach ended up becoming a good head coach for that same team. Like, it just doesn't happen.
He got to go. But, of course, that's going to be McKay and what's his name? Oh,
this entire staff is gone. They're just auditioning for other teams. Like, this entire staff their fate was cemented when Quinn and DK, with Quinn and TD were fired.
Rich got to go, but I don't know. I have some eerie feeling that he might stay.
Who?
Rich McKay.
I mean, yeah, he's going to be in the like front office, but he's not going to be like – he's not going to influence the team in much as people may think he will.
That's true. Oh, yeah, we are almost at 100 followers. Look, folks. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. If you're watching on YouTube, you need to subscribe. If you're listening on whatever podcast platform you are on, you need to subscribe to this fucking channel. The link will be in the description box of wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Once we hit 100 subscribers, the subscribers only will be able to win a brand new Atlanta Falcons jersey of your choice. Now, well, kind of, because I mean, Breeze said ordered online, but I'll probably go to the team store and be like, you have these to choose from. Because if I ordered online, you probably won't get it till like 2020. Okay,
but you got the right size though.
Yeah, you gotta pick. You can pick your size. You know what I'm saying? I'll go to the store and be like, "Hey, here's the jerseys they have. Here's the colors, and here's the size. So pick one." You know what I'm saying? But if you really don't want none of them, I guess we can order it online. But look, you might not get it till 2022. So nobody wants to hear y'all's mouth about we scamming y'all when it's not us. It's the NFL and fanatics.com or whatever who's taking along with your jersey. Okay, so yes, shout out to KTSE Av podcast. Y'all need to subscribe to their channel too and their podcast. They talk about life stuff and, you know, the shit that needs to be heard. And I'm on there from time to time. And so are a lot of other people. And it's a really great podcast. Ta-da! I don't even know what else to say. I think that's it. We got to win, and we're going to see what happens next week. I mean, I guess everybody's excited. Leave your comments below. Oh, that is not it. We have a message on Anchor that I'm going to play on here so y'all can be heard or whatever. So if you want to be heard on this podcast, I'll put the link below, right? All you gotta do is listen. No, what the fuck? All you gotta do is click the link and then fucking record your message and you'll be on the podcast. It's like easy peasy. It's real easy. So I'm trying to find the message. I completely forgot about it. Someone sent us a message. If I miss it, I'm going to play it somewhere on here. I have to edit this. I don't want to edit it. Where's the fucking message? Okay, I can't find a message right now. Oh, here it is. Let's see how loud this shit plays.
Hi, it's Ella. As far as Dan the man, great guy. Dan the coach, I hope he learns that he's not Pete Carroll and that he can't let his coordinators do whatever they want to help advance their career, that ended his career. I hope he learns not to depend on any more Vic Beasley's. Take what you see at face value and move on. As far as Thomas Dimitrov goes, his draft picks might have been hit and miss, but he never left up the cap. So whoever they bring in here, I hope they know what they're doing with this money. As far as defensive coach goes, defensive coordinator, I need Wade Phillips. Rise up.
Who's that?
Ella from... Her name's Ella. She's on the timeline.
That was the gospel. That was perfect because, again, you can't like it was a thing with Vic Beasley and Grady Jarrett. Dabo, who was the Clemson head coach, they told the Falcons front office, they said, well, if you like Vic Beasley, you're going to love Grady Jarrett. So that right there should have told you something how the players are going to pan out. Because Dabo knew right then and there that Grady was the catalyst behind Vic's success at Clemson. He knew that Grady was the gem, and it was he okay, if that. But yeah, you can't rely on Vic Beasley because like those boys they maybe look the part physically, but mentally they just not there. Like they would cost you your job, and that's literally what happened with Quinn.
Yeah. Yep. Shout out to you, Ella, being the first person to leave us a message on Anchor. That wasn't another podcast. If you want to be on the show, again, I'll put this shit in the link below. And last thing, the question that Breeze came up with, 62% of the people so far has said to sacrifice Julio and Matt.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. Whoever voted for that, y'all meet me at Stevenson in like 10 minutes because we finna throw hands.
Dog. I mean, it was 67 about 20 minutes ago, and so now it's 62. Yeah, so we'll see. It's 26 votes so far. So we gonna see. Some people just refuse to answer. But yeah, look, Mark, someone was on your side. People are on Mark's side, which is very, very unfortunate that of all people tried to pick, you had to pick his. Hey, now he's gonna come back talking a bunch of shit. Ugh. Shout out to everybody listening to the podcast. We have a bonus episode that was done Friday. Y'all check that out. Check out the last episode if you missed that. Thank you to Josh, South Breeze, Joy, and Marcus for holding that down while I had a mean-ass migraine. I appreciate y'all for continuing the shit in my absence. And that's it. We out of here. Hopefully we win next week. You know, rise up or whatever. And like and share this shit too.
Yes.
Come prop up on Thrive Fantasy this season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in a respective sport. If NFL, choose 10 out of the 20 player prop options to build your lineup. If NBA, MLB,
PGA or esports, choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. If PGA, Thrive has new contests for each day of the tournament. Thursday only, Friday only, etc. So don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut. Thrive has awarded over $1.3 million in prizes since launching in 2018. Use promo code DBNReport when you sign up today and you will receive an instant $20 bonus on your first deposit of $20 or more. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store or by visiting their website www.thrivefantasy.com. Sign up and prop up today.